Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. John engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios for this Friday, August the 14th, 2020. I've been in town 32 years. I have never seen a summer like this. Just the relentless heat. Over 110 and no rain. How frustrating up at our home, looking out probably a half a mile away to the east of us, probably a good rain for a half hour. We got zero. That's the way it's gone in the summer rains that really never showed up much here in the Tucson area. We're live weekdays during the noon hour on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Worldwide live listening and podcasts of the show always available on my website, buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. Our media partners are TucsonSentinel.com, the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, the Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Dr. Larry Penley. Dr. Penley is president of the 12-member Arizona Board of Regents, which is charged with overseeing the state's three universities, the University of Arizona, ASU, and NAU. Regent Penley is president of Penley Consulting. He has a robust background in higher education, past president of the Thunderbird School of Global Management, former president of Colorado State University, past chancellor of the Colorado State University System, and a former dean of the W.P. Carey School of Business at ASU. Joining us on the other live line today, Tim Steller, columnist with the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you, Bill?
Doing well. Let's welcome now Dr. Penley. Dr. Penley, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks very much for having me on your show.
Well, it's a very serendipitous time to have you on the show, as each of the three universities in the state of Arizona embarks, Dr. Penley, as you know, on a different path with different timelines to reopening the institutions. Is this a hybrid, one thing that they would have in common, combination of in-person classes and online? Is that something that each of the institutions would have in common?
And that's exactly right, Bill. Each of them has in common really three modalities that will be used in person, what will essentially be traditional classes in a certain way, obviously with some very important health-related differences. Also, synchronous Zoom-related elements of that. And then finally, the third way is a purely online course. So students have lots of options here, as do faculty in really dealing with their responsibilities.
How concerned are you of the financial picture for the universities?
It's a considerable concern, I think, for all of us. We know that nationally, we have data that indicate that the number of students who are attending universities will likely be down. We're not sure whether students will take the same number of classes that they've taken in the past. It's probably too early to tell. And finally, the level of expenditures that the University of Arizona has had to make just to get itself ready in terms of PPE, in terms of cleanliness, in terms of all of the issues that this pandemic really calls on us for.
Does the Board of Regents have a role, Dr. Penley, in allowing the universities to refinance their bonds or change payment timelines on those bonds?
We're actually having a meeting on August 20th, and I've asked our staff, particularly the general counsel staff, our lawyers, to really provide a robust explanation of what our options are at this time, what our restrictions are, what we can and cannot do. So we're looking forward to coming out of that meeting next Thursday, and I hope you and your listeners will join us on Thursday of next week to really hear what those options are. I think all of us need to know that. There are, of course, considerations, too, about even if you have the capability of taking out additional debt, is that a good idea? We all ask ourselves how much of the burden of today's expenses we pass on to future students or future faculty who may follow us. Nonetheless, that is an option that we want to consider in detail, review, and give our presidents some additional ammunition, if possible, to use in the face of the additional expenses and loss of revenue.
Tim, I'm going to turn it over to you, but I've got a quick follow-up on this loan situation. The Pac-12 has said to the member institutions, we'd be willing to float some kind of a big loan to each of you to make up for this lost TV revenue, because the U of A is looking at a $40 million hit to the athletic department. You bring up a good point, Dr. Penley. Does an institution want to even incur that debt at this point?
There's certainly a question about that. So in addition to the restrictions, that's a decision that has to be made. I think when we look at the federal government at times and the debt, one of the things we know is that our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren will be paying for what we consume today. Is that fair? I think we have to ask ourselves that question. Of course, in the face of making sure that we have a good educational program, that we have a safe environment on these campuses, then that may be the solution that a president can come to the board and really work through with the board, if it's allowed. But the Pac-12, for example, is a very different entity. It's not a state entity like the state of Arizona with its own debt restrictions. I hope that answers your question, Bill.
All right, let's turn it over to my friend Tim Steller, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, go ahead. You're with Dr. Penley.
Hello, Dr. Penley. Thanks for being on. I'm wondering about the state's role in this. You just mentioned how the athletics are separate entity, or the Pac-12 is a separate entity. Of course, the state traditionally has, in past years or past decades, has been the major funder of the universities, decreasingly so through the years. Is there what role might the state of Arizona play in helping out the universities?
Well, the state can play a number of roles. For instance, depending upon what the U.S. Congress does and the president does with the next round of funding, we hope that occurs. There's been a lot of discussion of routing that to the universities. What we don't know is whether that'll be routed directly to the universities, as the last funding was done based on number of students at the university, or whether it could be routed, as some money has been done, fairly substantial, to the state governor, and then the state governor has an opportunity to make decisions. That's a possibility. As well, we'll be calling on the legislature here in the state of Arizona not to consider the universities as a cash cow, a source of funding for the state of Arizona. At this point, for a school like the University of Arizona, every dollar we spend at the University of Arizona, about 9 cents of that comes from the state of Arizona. The rest of it comes from tuition, revenue, research grants, and other sources of revenue that the university has. So the state has potential to play a role here. It could also provide emergency funding for our institutions, as it has done already by helping the University of Arizona to fund the testing that's been going on around the state for antibodies and antigens.
When you referred to the legislature, asking them not to consider the universities a cash cow, are you saying not to have the legislature reroute money that's intended for the university to other state purposes? Is that what you're referring to?
That's exactly it, Tim. I don't want them to cut our revenue that we're getting. It's not the largest source of revenue, but it is an essential piece of the revenue that we have to really fund Arizona students to go to school at the university. That would be, I believe, a terrible mistake. The universities make a real difference in our workforce. If you look at the technologically driven workforce here in Tucson, those businesses are dependent upon the University of Arizona. To impair our ability to really deliver on the promise that we have in the workforce, I think that would not be good for Arizona, certainly not now and not for its future, especially given the 21st century economy that we have and the extent of technology-driven businesses these days.
We're speaking with Dr. Larry Penley. He is the president of the Board of Regents for the Arizona Three State Universities. I want to get into this Ashford University deal. Actually, a listener just called in. Thank you, John, for putting the question up. And it was the listener must have read my mind because this listener wants to hear your opinion about the University of Arizona announcing plans last week to acquire a for-profit online college called Ashford University. This university has had somewhat of a troubled background. Were you surprised with the deal, or do you like the deal, Dr. Penley?
Well, here's what I like, and what I like is that this is an opportunity for the University of Arizona Global Campus to really serve working adults. We know that the 21st century economy demands more higher education than we've had in the past for the kind of workforce that we've seen. Focusing on working adults is something that I think is really going to matter more and more every single day. U of A Global allows the University of Arizona to do that. Further, we know, and we've seen it especially last spring with the pandemic, that universities are going to have much greater capacity in online education. U of A Global will now have that capacity to do far more outreach consistent with its land-grant mission in really reaching students, whether they're working adults or they're traditional 18 and 19, 20, 21-year-olds. So I think the U of A Global offers us all of those advantages.
What's a little bit different, though, is a public university like the University of Arizona, as the New York Times pointed out Wednesday in Wednesday's Times, to team up with a for-profit college. Traditionally, the team-ups have been with nonprofits. This is a little bit of a different model, isn't it, Dr. Penley?
What we're seeing, I believe, across the country is public universities and for-profit corporations really working together. In many cases, those corporations deliver certain services. That's true, for example, for Cal State Poly, where they also use the services of Zovio, who is the provider for the U of A Global. But it's true in a lot of other ways where we reach out and make deals with promotional and marketing entities to support us. So I'm not sure that I would agree that this is as unusual as perhaps the Times suggested in its article the other day.
One more question about it. I wonder if you, as a board regents member or the chair, are concerned about the University of Arizona's reputation and the potential risks to it when they are essentially lending the name to a troubled university such as Ashford, which used to be, I guess, Bridgepoint, or overseen by Bridgepoint.
In addition to addressing legal options associated with debt at our board meeting on the 20th, next Thursday, we'll be hearing from President Robbins about the University of Arizona Global. The board, I believe, is going to have an action item associated with beginning to set expectations for President Robbins and expectations for the University of Arizona Global. This board expects a high-quality education to be delivered. We'll be more specific down the road as exactly what we're going to set as expectations, but there's no question that with the brand that the University of Arizona has, which is an extraordinary brand, we're going to want the University of Arizona Global, to live up to that brand and to deliver an education for working adults that, yes, which is different, which happens to be online, but nonetheless provides a quality learning environment.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. Dr. Larry Penley will stick around for another segment. He is our Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Penley is the president of the Arizona Board of Regents. He was first appointed to the board by Governor Ducey in October of 2015. He has an incredible background in higher education, and he continues his discussion with us being myself and Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star. It's Buckmaster on a Friday in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday edition here on 1030 The Voice, your source in Southern Arizona for trusted news talk. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. The Buckmaster Show live line guests appear presented by Rincon Ventures, our friends at Rincon Ventures Property Management and Real Estate. Tim Steller is with us from the Arizona Daily Star on one of the live lines. The other live line, our Friday Focus guest today, Dr. Larry Penley, who is the president of the Arizona Board of Regents. Tim, let's begin with you, and I think you want to get back into some money questions.
Well, there's a kind of a hypothetical that's been on my mind today, and I'm wondering, I know nobody likes to entertain hypotheticals, but I'm wondering if you would, if we didn't have to have the financial pressures at the university that we do, would we be bringing students back on campus at all? In other words, it really is all about money, isn't it? The whole idea of trying to reopen campus?
Tim, I think your question's a good one. And I think every president and certainly every board across the country really has to ask itself why it's doing this. One of the things I've tried to do as the head of our board is to focus on the quality of the workforce and the kind of research that we're going to need. And we know that this economy, and I've mentioned it earlier, but I want to emphasize this, this economy needs the kind of scientists, engineers, and mathematicians that the University of Arizona can really educate. If we don't move that forward, we put our state, we put the community of Tucson in a worse position. We know that the competition for jobs is really difficult these days. We know that places like Austin, Texas, and other communities would just as soon take our businesses away as anything else. So to me, the prime driver for assuring that we have a university in place with as close to the same educational experience as possible, the prime driver of that is our responsibility to the state of Arizona and to the city of Tucson and the businesses that we have. Now, will we have even more problems if we go to online purely? Perhaps so. But I have to say the prime driver is still the responsibility of a university for the kind of research it does, the kind of education it provides, Tim.
Getting back to athletics, was the Board of Regents consulted, Dr. Penley, on, or was that a Pac-10 decision strictly with the presidents, the president at ASU, Dr. Crow, and then Dr. Robbins here in Arizona at the University of Arizona? Or did the board have an input in that decision to not do college football in the fall?
The decision is obviously due to the presidents of the Pac-12, people like President Robbins, President Crow, and the presidents of the other institutions that are part of the conference. But I have to tell you that because of the number of decisions that are being made, this board is really engaged with presidents like President Robbins, sometimes on a daily basis, sometimes multiple times a day. But we have lots of conversations. We have lots of opportunity to really discuss things like what's going to happen in athletics. This is unfortunate for all of us who love football, love basketball, but it's also about the health and safety of these student athletes. And that is the first basis for any decision like this. I can assure you of that. And President Robbins, when he and I've talked about it, that's where he is. He's a cardiac surgeon, as we all know. So he understands the health risks that we confront these days.
And you are a former president of a major university, Colorado State University, and the past chancellor of the Colorado State University system. As president at CSU, did you ever face any kind of challenges like this that we're going through with the pandemic?
When SARS, I was the president back in the early 2000s of Colorado State University, and certainly with an earlier coronavirus, which was SARS and MERS, we did pandemic preparations. But in this country, certainly in my lifetime, and I suspect since the 1917-18 flu pandemic, we haven't faced anything like this. So I didn't have to make the kind of decisions when I was president that President Robbins is having to make.
How about assets? I know the University of Arizona is thinking about perhaps selling off some assets like the agriculture farm on Campbell Avenue, which is many people love that area. Is everything on the table? Let me put it that way, Dr. Penley.
I think you have to consider all assets. You have to consider all expenses and all sources of revenue at this particular time. But you also have to think through the fact that this institution has been around for a very long period of time, and it's served Arizona very, very well. It'll be around another 100, 200 years. So we not only have to make good decisions for today, but we have to make decisions for the future as well. One of the things I always felt as a president is I don't want my successor to say, I wonder why Larry didn't do that. And I suspect President Robbins is in the same position that I was. He wants to make the right decision for today and tomorrow.
University of Arizona will start receiving students next week. Could you kind of give us the timeline? I'm just curious about ASU and NAU. What will their path be?
Well, each of these is doing things a little differently. NAU is starting online, but it's moving fairly quickly to in-person classes. It began a little earlier. ASU and U of A come closer to the time frame, but people are already moving in on to residence halls on all three campuses. I've been real pleased with what the University of Arizona is doing with its testing with immediate results. And I think one student out of 1,200 has been diagnosed with COVID-19, immediately moved to the special residence hall for students who have been diagnosed with COVID-19. That's a good record. The process is the right process. And the U of A is doing that as well as any school in this country.
All right. Tim Steller.
Yes, I'm wondering still about this question of the state role in all this. It feels like the university is at a bit of a crossroads in that it is forced to adapt financially, especially to this hard time as a result of the pandemic. Do you foresee it becoming more of an independent financial entity as it has been becoming over time, or is there a chance it can be fall back more on public support of some sort now that we've seen how vulnerable it is financially?
Well, we might wish that the state provided a lot more funding than the 9 cents I described earlier out of every dollar. We might wish that the state budget was much larger, but we've been a fairly conservative state for a long time. We've been very careful with taxes that we've raised in order to be more business friendly. I'm just not anticipating that that's going to change dramatically in the next few years. I'd like to forestall any other cuts that come because these are still state universities. They are still ours as citizens of Arizona. And that's what we want. But I, as much as I might wish, Tim, there were a lot more revenue coming to them, I'm not sure that's a forecast that I would be willing to make. I have proposed last year and led an effort that was designed to put far more revenue into our universities, and the governor was supporting that. He called it out specifically in his State of the State address last January. Unfortunately, as we all know, the budget discussions were put on hold. I'm hoping we can reenter those discussions and engender the same kind of support from our governor and from legislators that we were receiving last spring prior to the pandemic. And that will mean more revenue. But a dramatic change, I'm afraid I doubt it.
And so what that means, if I'm not mistaken, is that the university is going to be in a position to have to make a lot more cutting edge deals like this Ashford University one in order to keep bringing in the revenue, no?
Well, we're already responsible for bringing in most of the money to support the institution as it is. The University of Arizona has been very aggressive since President Robbins became the president in moving its research agenda forward, recovering real excellence and being far more competitive at the National Institutes of Health, the National Science Foundation, the Department of Defense. I think that's going to provide more revenue. Unfortunately, since the Great Recession, our three universities have had to raise tuition. I don't see an escape from that right now, although one of the things that I proposed to the governor, and I was getting some support from certain legislators, was a program to really provide a free education for individuals who lacked the family income to go to school at one of our three universities. And that would have given an individual essentially a portable scholarship to choose any one of the three. I am firmly committed to that. Our universities should be educating people from every economic group in our state. And once I have a chance to go back to our governor and legislature, you can be assured that I'll be pushing for that.
Dr. Penley, a question. This is probably going to be my final question, quickly running out of time, but it comes up quite a bit on this program from listeners, and I'm curious to hear what you have to say about the endowment. The University of Arizona has a $1 billion, with a B, endowment. Can that be tapped, or is that for only designated purposes?
Well, each donation has certain constraints. Obviously, as a president, what you'd like are gifts that are unconstrained. And all of us who've been presidents asked for that. But a great deal of the funds that are provided for a foundation are devoted to a building, a professorship, a chair for a professor, for a scholarship. So a lot of those funds are designated and not flexible. And we have a responsibility to our donors to live up to what they've asked us to do.
And listeners can listen in on your meeting Thursday online, I guess, right?
Absolutely. It's available on Facebook. What you have to do is go to the website. There's a link there. And I'd encourage people to do that. The discussions of debt, the discussions of U of A Global are particularly important to the University of Arizona community and to alumni of the university.
Dr. Penley, thank you for spending part of your lunch hour with us. Very much appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill, and thanks to Tim. Great questions, and thanks for giving us an opportunity to be together for your listeners, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Larry Penley, who is the president of the Arizona Board of Regents. I've got some more to say with Tim Steller. Tim will stick around on the live line as we continue on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be right back.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, the Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And we go back to the Live Line and Tim Steller, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, there is a lot of concern, apprehension, call it what you will, about the University of Arizona beginning classes, face-to-face classes in some cases. And this comes as the case numbers here in Pima County have gone down. I think it's a little over 100 cases is all. I mean, one is one too many, yes, but it's a dramatic drop in many cases than what it has been. Hospitalizations are at about 80%, I believe, our not rate, I guess the spread of the disease is the lowest in the United States. There's still, though, this concern that you're going to have a lot of kids back on campus.
Yeah. So the early results, as you might have seen in the paper today, show that they've had very few. They tested 1,200 UA students living off campus, and only one came up positive, amazingly. It's almost too little to believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got to expect, and President Robbins did say this, that you got to expect we'll have spikes now and then. And the question is, can we control them? And you have to test and you have to isolate and all that in order to control them. But God, you know, when more people come, you know, we haven't nearly reached the number that is going to be here. And when that happens, yeah, I'm really worried, and worried for a couple of reasons. One is just people coming from all over. That's a recipe for more spread. But also, and I don't blame them for this, but people of this age group, they're almost biologically wired, or maybe they are biologically wired to get together socially, you know?
That's right.
You know, it's easier for someone of my age or your age not to bother with that. But, you know, that's part of life at that age. And, you know, I'm hearing from our reporter, Shaq Davis, that, you know, there's a little bit of a protest planned, an anti-mask protest plan. I don't know how big a deal that is. But if you start to get that going and combine it with people's natural tendency to get together, we'll have outbreaks, and the question is whether we'll be able to control them when they happen.
And are there going to be penalties for the students that decide they're going to go party? I mean, students are going to be students, as you say. Maybe there's a, well, probably is biologically wired. Let's have a good time. You know, what happens? Is there going to be some kind of expulsion for a student who doesn't follow the rules, doesn't wear a mask to class? Well, I mean, what are the consequences?
Yeah, I mean, I hope, you know, everybody's trying to be flexible. Like, you know, I have kids in TUSD now, and this start of school has been difficult, of course, for the teachers and for the students. But people are asking each other to be flexible, and I'm hopeful the university will be too. But, you know, but deal strong in a strong way with people who are being deliberately antisocial. You can have a different opinion about the value of masks, for example, but if it's the policy and it's a policy based on the best available information, then you got to wear one, you know, and that's it.
We had 4,000 students, perhaps 3,000 to 4,000, I think was the quote from one of the TUSD folks in your paper, who are really not in touch in any way with the administration. These people have are off the radar screen. That's very troubling. That's a lot of students who are basically not going to have any kind of education if that continues in the fall.
Yeah, and it's not only troubling because of their educational prospects, which are important, but also, as we knew when the schools shut down, kids who are abused or in trouble otherwise, the teachers don't have eyes on them. The school staff doesn't have eyes on them. So we don't know if they're being victimized in some way or need some help, you know? And so it's really hard. And you got to, I sympathize with everybody. You know, I was saying in the conversation with Dr. Penley, kind of suggesting that we wouldn't be trying this, i.e. going back to the university, if we didn't need the money. And I kind of think that. But on the other hand, we can't stop life forever, and dealing with the virus, living with it, is our challenge. So, I'm glad that people are trying to figure out ways.
Well, it's going to be very important to take a flu shot this year. And I know it's controversial. It shouldn't be, I don't believe. But half of Americans still don't take a flu shot. But this would be a very important year to take one. And I know the CDC is very worried about kind of a perfect storm of the flu and COVID-19. However, there is some good news if you look to South America, where some of the countries that have very strong national mask requirements, like Chile, they're reporting that this flu season has been hardly a problem at all, one of the lowest flu seasons in decades, and that's because, they believe, of the mask wearing.
Oh, that's fascinating. I didn't know that. Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, that if we can continue that, at least until we can get a handle on the virus, on the novel coronavirus. It's really important to keep the flu down to a low roar so that our hospitals can manage the load. And if masking is what it takes, let's do it. I mean, I think we're all getting pretty used to it. And any slippage, that's the issue. Slippage, people not continuing to do the things that have succeeded in the last month in Arizona. So I'm hopeful that this really help us.
And then 1 in 3 Americans, the polling today showing they will not take the COVID-19 shot, which is very troubling because we need as many Americans to take the shot, I believe, to get the herd immunity up, correct?
That's my understanding. Although if 2 out of 3 did get it, then that might be enough for herd immunity because, depending on the virus and various factors, 60 to 70% could be enough because the virus can't find enough people to infect. It loses its ability to be transmitted at a certain level of immunity. Well, of course, the question is whether any vaccine will work, and with these doubts arising about the level of immunity that we get from our, that is, how persistent our antibodies are, who knows? anyway, that's a whole other question.
And of course, let's face it, Tim Steller, the holy grail is everybody's building their future around a vaccine that works. Everybody's pointing to 2021 is going to be that turnaround year. People are booking vacations again for 2021 in a very big way. People are thinking and hoping that it's going to work. And that, I think that's we've got to just really bank on that. I hope so.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it doesn't, then we're already figuring out a way to live with it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what these university and school district plans are all about. And they're kind of haphazard, especially at the school district level. But we're learning to deal with it while trying to minimize, especially deaths, but just generally problems and infections. And we may just have to keep doing that, you know?
Hope not. What's your plan for Sunday's paper?
Well, conveniently, thanks in part to you and your scheduling here, I'm writing about the university, and I'm really interested in this theme of public funding, the lack thereof, the corporatization of the university, and what that means to how the university has responded in this emergency. In other words, in the old days, the university was funded by the state and tuition, and that was that. And it wasn't being asked to be entrepreneurial, to put it that way, or capitalistic, to put it that way. You know, it was just an arm of the state. And so it is being forced into a lot of moves that it wouldn't have to take if it were still a predominantly publicly funded institution.
Well, Dr. Penley's comments probably will be helpful for the column, I hope.
Yeah, you might get named in there, Bill.
Well, any kind of mention is good, so appreciate it very much.
No problem.
Tim. Stay safe, okay?
You too. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Tim Steller, columnist with the Arizona Daily Star. Matt Russell is waiting in the wings. Whenever I just even think about the music to our weekend watch, stir it up, I'm ready for the weekend. You'll hear that music very shortly on The Buckmaster Show.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
There it is, Weekend Watch theme music. That means Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, who is our longtime contributor to Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's time to start planning to visit Silver City, so you're ready to pile in the car and take off when New Mexico is once again ready and open to out-of-state visitors. Only a three-hour drive from Tucson, and there is so much to do. You can start to get an idea and a feel for where to stay and what to do by visiting their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Here he is, the award-winning Tucson publicist, dedicated foodie, and he didn't do the rain dance, I guess, enough that we could finally get some rain last night. I could smell the rain. I saw the double rainbow, but not a drop.
Not a thing. It was just a tease. I mean, see the violent storms rolling in the clouds, I want some precipitation, but alas, we didn't get it.
No, it's been a tough summer. Hopefully, maybe some of that tropical storm activity off Mexico will help us out, and we'll talk about that Monday on the show. But right now, I want to talk about Catfish Friday.
Yeah, you better believe it. I'm all about a great fish fry on Friday, Bill. And, you know, a surprisingly good one is at a place you wouldn't expect, at a barbecue joint. So Ken's Hardwood Barbecue on 22nd and Craycroft, they proudly host Catfish Friday every Friday. Ken himself hails from the South, and he knows catfish. It's a gorgeous fried filet with his special seasonings, homemade tartar sauce. And you can put that bad boy on a big brioche bun, throw in a couple of sides like Grandma Wilma's green beans, and you're good to go. I think it's going to make an excellent carry-out dinner tonight, but you better get a rack of ribs to go with it just in case.
Maybe a happy hour would bring on the summer rain.
Where is the rain? Where's the monsoon? Well, one way to get your monsoon on this weekend is at Monsoon's Tap and Grill on Thornydale near Ina. And if enough people show up for happy hour, maybe we'll see some rain. This is a fun sports bar and grill that I've been told has some of the best wings in town. In fact, they have more than 10 different flavors, plus a great lineup of burgers and sandwiches, salads, even pizzas. And their fish fry game is pretty strong as well. If you want to see some monsoon activity, literally, head to Monsoon's Tap and Grill this weekend.
I've spent a lot of time in the tropics. I know rum, and there's some beautiful sipping rums out there. Any special day for rum?
Yeah, you know what? What a lovely coincidence. This Sunday is National Rum Day. Now, I know you're a Blanco tequila guy, but you certainly enjoy sipping a little rum from time to time.
I do.
lucky us on Sunday. How fun would it be to head down to the Elgin Distillery this weekend to sip the world's best rum? And I'm serious, Bill, because their Regalo DeVita rum last year was named Best in Show at the World's Spirits Competition in San Francisco. Now, that is the best of the best in the industry. Now, if you can't make it down to Elgin, you can find Regalo DeVita rum at Total Wine, as well as other purveyors of fine spirits. And I tell you, I can't think of a better way to celebrate National Rum Day on Sunday than just sipping and staying local.
Barbados in the desert. How about that?
Beautiful. Yes.
What is in the Inside Tucson Business column this week?
Well, you know, Bill, I caught up with a local winemaker who's found a fun way to enjoy some quality wines by the pool without a glass bottle, without a corkscrew. Can you say canned wines? You can read all about that in this week's Inside Tucson Business.
All right, back to your rain dance. Thank you very much, Matt Russell. Have a good
Bill.
One. All right, the Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music is composed by my friend Chris Stefan. There's a link to him on website buckmastershow.com. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt. Thanks, Rose, for getting all of those shows up in a very timely manner. All of our programs podcast at buckmastershow.com. My engineer producer, John Couch. Thanks, John. Another great job. The entire team at Bustos Media here in Tucson. All of us have the same wish for you this weekend. Make it a safe and an enjoyable weekend. Talk to you Monday at 12:04. We'll be right back.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media Station.